You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
Purple Daily is daily Vikings entertainment. We just want the Vikings to win a Super Bowl before we die.
I will ride with this group.
Seriously, man. Please.
And away we go.
And a happy Thor's Day to you and yours. The Purple Daily crew welcoming our friend Thor Nystrom from Fantasy Pros and Betting Pros. The number one J.J. McCarthy market mover in America. Here he is, folks. What's up, Thor?
Not a lot, guys. Man, we're only 2 weeks away from the NFL draft. It is getting here.
You've got offensive sleepers that it's kind of part two of offensive day three sleepers. We'll get to those. We'll do a big mock draft simulation. But what is your life like the next 2 weeks? Because you've got your Thor 500 that you're still doing, I presume, right? Like, what is it like living in this world where you professionally eat, sleep, breathe, draft the next 2 weeks?
Yeah, for the next week, it's tough times around here in terms of like just it's when you get up until when you go to sleep, putting together the rankings by positions and then putting comps on guys. And then what I'm working towards is 1 week from today on Fantasy Pros, dropping my favorite column every single year, my gift to the draft community. The Thor 500, my 500 player big board with 500 comps, but it is a lot of work to get there. So we grind through the positions. We're finalizing, the offensive guard 18 against the 19 one.
Yeah, how do you flip that coin? Like, so you've got we're day three. How do you determine that the 18th guard is better than the 20th guard?
I mean, depending on the position, there's things that you're going to prioritize, right? And so, like, with the sleepers, and we have data on this going back. I mean, at this point, we have, 40 years of testing data and how that is correlated by position and body type to the NFL and what leads to success and what doesn't in the aggregate. So you're looking for some of that kind of stuff. And teams do this, right? Like, the Packers are an example of a team that love to take offensive linemen on day three that had really good agility scores, and they hit gold several times doing this. It's just sort of like that.
So Thor, in my small draft book here, I've got what's to come. Correct me if I am, or help me if I am missing one. We have past tweets. So someone's going to find a past tweet of like a McCarthy or May, and he's going to have said something really bad or immature. I've got leaked pictures of a guy like smoking pot. I've got my favorite one, which is probably about 10 days away, leaked medicals. So suddenly from nowhere, Penix's knees, we're going to find out that they're attached by string. So beyond those three things, because it's already started, what am I missing? Because this time just turns into complete chaos.
Well, also the declarative reports from reporters of like, oh, this team's interested in this guy and they're going to take him if he gets there. And a lot of times that's, the information that's getting out is what someone wants someone to report. And so you always have to keep that in mind. But yeah, it's that stuff. We're getting, now it really heats up. And yeah, you are going to start to see some of that. And you're going to see some shenanigans and subterfuge by some of these teams that would prefer a guy that they want to pick fall down to him.
Well, let's get back into the sleepers here before we do a lengthy mock draft simulation. Part one of this exercise, if you for some reason missed last week's Thursday episode, you had Spencer Rattler as a day three toward the end of day two quarterback sleeper, and we talked about that. You had a couple running backs, Tyrone Tracy and Kamani Vidal, and then you listed three wide receivers to keep an eye on. Vikings, by the way, probably need a WR3, but Javon Baker, Jalen McMillan, and Luke McCaffrey, we've talked about a lot on the show. So let's go through interior offensive linemen. And even though the Vikings have two strong starting tackles, I mean, you're listing sleepers regardless of Vikings connection, but you can always use some extra help up front. And then tight ends. Let's get to the meat and potatoes of your offensive sleepers here, Thor. Give us some names.
Yeah, so we'll start with tight end, just where we left off last time. And this isn't, you know, you have Brock Bowers, who has gotten a lot of attention, deservedly so. He's really more of an offensive weapon and a pass catcher and just get the ball in his hands sort of a dude. Offensive weapon, I guess, is what you'd say. But after that, it's sort of a quagmire. I mean, there's differences of opinion starting at tight end too. And then the class, the common perception of it is it drops off a shelf really quick. That I wouldn't disagree with. I do think there is one extremely intriguing sleeper, though, that has been under-discussed for reasons I'll get into in a second, but that is Eric Aull, a tight end from Iowa. Iowa who sends
tight end you, baby.
Tight ends to the NFL every single year. Eric Aull spent 1 year in Iowa City after beginning his career at Michigan, which is one of our other tight end factories in the Midwest. The other one you toss out, of course, is Notre Dame. But those are like, you know, he went to two of them at Michigan for Jim Harbaugh. He was like their move tight end, H-backy kind of a guy. And then they put him out in the slot. But he just did different roles like that in that offense. And then Iowa, they played him purely in line. But he was still being used as, you know, the guy that they were funneling a lot of their offense to. Of course, Sam Laporta had left the year before. So Iowa needed a guy to replace that. Their offense is, as you guys know, a travesty. Eric Aull was that guy until he got injured. And this gets us into, you know, why is he being slept on? In 2022 at Michigan, his season ends with a back injury. He ends up getting surgery on that. There was a disagreement between him and the staff about the kind of procedure and if he should rehab it or get the surgery. Aull decided to pull the plug on his season, get the surgery. He said it was life-saving surgery. He leaves over this sort of disagreement, goes to Iowa, and was great at the beginning of this season, especially when you know the context of his offensive situation before he tore his ACL in October. Oh. So we haven't gotten to see as much of him, but a very talented prospect, 6'4.5", 252. And though he didn't get to test this year, you know, everyone was going nuts about Theo Johnson's testing at the combine, the Penn State tight end, you know, who had like the 9.8 RAS. Theo Johnson ended up running. Let me pull it up here. Theo Johnson runs a 4.57, which was amongst those top tight ends was the best mark. I'm here to tell you, if Eric Aull had been healthy and running the 40 at the combine, Theo Johnson would not have finished with the best 40 time of the tight ends. You see on tape Eric Aull running away from defensive backs when he gets the ball. Last year, a great example was when they were playing Penn State. He runs away from Kalen King, who I think ran a 4.52 at the combine. And I'm talking about running away like Aull was separating from him down the field after he accelerated around, just created more distance getting to the goal line. I think Eric Aull would have run low 4.5s and maybe high 4.4s. The athleticism plays on the field, and he's a very skilled receiver. That's the other point that I wanted to make about him. He's been doing this for 3 years. Back in 2021 with Michigan, his last full season, he had 38 catches for 437 yards and two touchdowns. You know, again, going back multiple years, he was a sophomore back then. But I like the size. I like the speed. I like his feet. He changes directions quickly. He attacks the ball when it's coming to him. And he'll at least give you effort as a blocker. Like Jim Harbaugh and Kirk Ferentz are not going to have a tight end on the roster that does not get after it as a blocker. Yeah. He doesn't have the playing strength for like power edges in the NFL, but he'll absolutely block people in space. And like I said, you at least need to throw him aside if you're bigger than him. But a guy that could play in the slot can play some inline. You can shift him around. You saw in the past him being a lead blocker. They would bring him into the backfield. A lot of different stuff you can do. And maybe even a guy, depending on how far he falls, that the Vikings should consider on day three.
Yeah.
What round do you think?
That is entirely dependent on the medical staffs. And this is where it gets sort of wonky with him, because you have two different things going on there. You need to make sure that there's no elevated risk of re-injury or even his career getting cut short by that back injury. So as our medical team signed off on that, they'll have a lot more information on that, obviously, than I do. That very little information about that was out there publicly outside of it just being a surgery. So we don't know, you know, how invasive it was or different stuff like that. And then the ACL tear from October, how is he progressing from that? Is it going to be a clean recovery? Are we past that? But if your medical team signs off on it, I'd be comfortable as early as late round three, early round four. You know, that's kind of scandalous in comparison to where he is in the consensus boards, but it justifies it as play on the field. As long as again, as long as your medical team signs off.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go interior offensive linemen, sleepers, day three. This is a bin that the Vikings should absolutely be shopping in. They could use a starting left guard maybe this season and a starting center long-term. So give us a name or two of interior offensive linemen sleepers.
Well, this is a position that is near and dear to my heart because I was a high school interior offensive lineman. And the Vikings interior offensive line play the past couple of years has been making me put my head through a table. So we need to improve that. And you're not going to be able to give the draft equity up there at the top. Obviously, that is being delineated to the quarterback. Then the day two picks, you don't have them barring a weird scenario. So, you know, I'm trying to pick someone here that I think would be, you know, to your point before, a fit for the Vikings at a price point they could actually pay that is a sleeper. And I think I found one that fits the bill. This guy plays center, but also both guard positions. So he gives you the three position versatility and a tremendous athlete with length. Bo Limmer from Arkansas.
Bull, like B-U-L-L, Bull?
B-O-A-U-X.
Oh, Bo. Got it.
Yeah. 6 foot, almost 6 foot five, 302 pounds, 9.8 RAS. He was an awesome right guard at Arkansas in the SEC for 2.5 seasons before last year they moved him to center. And he was, and he also played a bit of left guard the past couple years, just filling in. But he started for 3.5 years in the SEC. 39 bench press reps were the most of any player at the NFL Combine. And get this, guys, he was the first prospect in combine history with at least a 36.5-inch vertical and 39 bench press reps. It had never been done before. Not only that, there's only one other guy in combine history who had at least a 36-inch vertical and at least 35 bench press reps. So kind of special in that regard. His overall RAS was 9.8, which means he's a 98th percentile size-adjusted athlete coming into the NFL. He squats 700 pounds. That's not included in that, but just for whatever it's worth. On the field, he is, in my notes, I have scrappy fighter who plays through the echo of the whistle. He's one of those types.
The echo of the whistle. It
sounds like
the
Incredible Hulk.
He's looking to bury you. Exactly. Wow. He's looking to bury you till the very, very end. And his best thing is probably the run blocking. He is very, very, very good at that. Fires off the line low, consistently wins a leverage game. Legs never stop driving. He's easy, and this, you know, for the Vikings, something you could be interested in, easily able to reach and erase second level players. He's adept at pulling down the line, so you can do that fun stuff with him that some centers can't do, but he can do. He can snap that ball and then get around the edge of the tackle, take someone out there at the end. Mobility is a huge plus. He made all the line calls at Arkansas, so he's a super smart guy, sort of a field general type center. He points out the pre-snap blitzes. He gets his, you know, the line adjusted and shifted and points out responsibilities. The only sort of nitpick about him, there's a couple of reasons you're going to fall down a little bit. The number one, he didn't stay at the one position the whole time. I see this as a positive, but, you know, this year was his first year playing center, and then that's the film that a lot of evaluators are looking at. He was still good this year, but, you know, not settled in at one spot. And then the other thing is he needs the pass pro technique refined. He is clearly more comfortable when he gets to attack. He loves snapping the ball and just shooting forward and then coming in low because it's really difficult for guys to deal with him at that point. And then he has the footwork and everything like that that comes from an athletic profile like that. So he's always getting on the play side, you know, swiveling those hips around, sealing you off from the ball. But when he has to go back and now he's the pass protector, there's just technical things that he needs to work on. The setup isn't great. The base isn't great. Sometimes he can get knocked off balance and different stuff like that. Some of these things are technical things. He will need help with big-time power guys, but I think that there's technical refinement that will lead to advancement in his pass protection. The run blocking is tremendous, whether you want to put him at center, whether you want to put him at guard.
This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of Sports Talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
I don't know about you guys. I'm convinced with the 11th overall pick in the first round, the Minnesota Vikings select Bo Limmer.
I love the strength. Yeah,
inject all of that into this offensive line. Okay, give us one more offensive lineman sleeper for now. We can dig up more sleepers in the next couple weeks too.
So this next guy was another guy, you know, he's going to go on day three, and it's a guy with projectable traits who is versatile, right? Like, I want, if I'm going to take a lineman on, you know, in round five or round six, or I want them, and you know, when you know that you're not picking them to be a part of the starting lineup next year, it's a twofold thing. We want to develop them, so we want to know that there is theoretical ceiling there based on the play that we have seen, based on the athletic profile, but then also initially that they can handle multiple positions. I don't want a guy like that can only play one. You know, for instance, like taking a guy who is pigeonholed at center, but now you have to hold him on the roster for multiple years, holding up a roster spot, and he can only play that one position. This guy, you know, the last guy we talked about was a center guard. This guy is a tackle guard. So, you know, up to probably three position versatility. I don't think he could handle left. I think he could handle right, though. And his name is Delmar Glaze from Maryland. He has gotten knocked down on some boards because people will immediately just pigeonhole him to guard. He's 6'4" and an eyelash and 315 pounds. He played tackle in college, but, you know, like I said, a lot of analysts are trying to just shove him into guard. I think there's a better shot that he could stick at tackle than he's being given credit for. And that's a part of the reason why I'm bullish on him. He was good on the field, of course. And then he's got almost 83-inch wingspan. I'm sorry, wingspan length. And then the 10-yard split as well was very good with him. But let's see. Last year, he was a right tackle in 2022, then a left tackle last year. Shut down Jack Sawyer of Ohio State, who's going to be a draft dude that we're talking about next year. He's played well against the best competition that he has faced, including, like, Sawyer's an example of a guy he just turned the lights out on. On the film, Glaze has fluidity, length, strong hands, which is where it potentially projects to right tackle. If that doesn't work out, he's certainly going to be a guard, and I think he can be a starting guard in the NFL.
Oh, interesting. Nothing wrong with that position versatility. Although I do love a guy that can play left guard, right guard, and center, and basically kick your ass,
dude. Bo Limmer, yeah,
give Bo me Limmer, Bo Limmer. Me. Plus, he sounds like an ideal candidate, tush push guy.
Yeah,
with that strength, because he'll just barrel through like Kelsey did.
I didn't even mention this when I was doing my whole Limmer spiel. You guys know the comp I have on Bo Limmer. It's a blast from Minnesota past.
John Sullivan.
Ben Hamilton.
Ben Hamilton.
Oh,
yeah. Nice. Other Gopher,
yeah, Gophers.
First round
pick
by the Giants, right?
Yeah. He was on the Broncos.
Oh, Broncos. Okay. Yeah. I'm thinking of a different guy then.
Okay. Man, actually, the Gophers had a run of centers, man. Like, wasn't Greg Esslinger? Was Setterstrom a center, or was he?
They Hamilton had a run was there. Fourth round of the Broncos in 2001.
Okay. You're
thinking of Nick Mangold, Judd, I think.
Okay.
The Jets.
Judd's sure, always thinking about Nick Mangold.
I'm always like, I love Nick Mangold. Are you kidding me?
Hey, before we get to a mock draft simulation, the other thing Judd is constantly thinking about is our friends over at Northern Fire Barbecue.
How can I not be? Because as you're about to see, we're talking about the best barbecue playground in town. That's right. Barbecue season is here, and we're talking about a place that offers 70 different gas grills, over 150 dry rubs on what they call their flavor wall, which Mackie absolutely loves. Oh. There's also a sauce selection, and that is only a start, Declan. Yeah. They are the only sauce. Twin Eagle dealer in the Twin Cities carrying luxury outdoor grill equipment. There also are unique cuts of meat and seafood. That's right. They got everything. Mm. Check out their site right now, northernfirebbq.com, or check them out at the location that you were just looking at the glorious photos of, just north of Highway 62 on Shady Oak Road. If it involves barbecue, Northern Fire Grilling will have it. Again, northernfirebbq.com. check it out. And of course, if you drop on by, tell them the guys from Purple Daily told you to.
Yeah, they're going to be at the draft party too, providing us a hot take desk in the form of a massive grill. And I believe we will be giving it away too. So
if they bring dry rubs, there is a chance Mackie will peace out early on.
Yeah, I'll get you guys through the first like two picks, and then I'll just be making dry rub wings over in the corner. You guys call me if you need me. Also, a couple other friends that are helping to support the Purple Daily Draft Party, third annual at the Fillmore, Thursday, April 25th. Our friends at Popped Corn, everybody in attendance is going to get one of Judd's Purple Daily flags courtesy of Popped Corn. All VIPs will get a Popped Corn sample bag. And our friends at Fulton Brewing are putting together a pregame festivity. So the draft starts at 7, and that's what time we go live on the podcast at the Fillmore. But just literally across the street from the Fillmore is Fulton Brewing. And from 3 to 7 o'clock on Thursday, April 25th, they are throwing a pre-draft pregame party. Special appearance by Vikings quarterback legend Tommy Kramer as well from 5 to 7 o'clock. So Fulton's got you covered from 3 to 7 in their tap room, just steps away from the Fillmore, April 25th before our extravaganza. So we're looking forward to it. Gentlemen, let's fire up a mock draft simulation here, shall we?
I want a mock!
Let's do this. We have about 20 minutes or so, so we'll be mindful of time here. But we are going to select the Vikings on the PFF simulator. We're going to do 7 rounds if possible, Thor, so we might have to fly through the end here. And let's see. Public, we'll lean toward the public versus the PFF. I'm just trying to get these settings right. Let's enter the draft. So last week, we said prerequisite. Vikings have to stick at 11 or trade back, and that was a fun exercise for everyone except for Judd.
Yeah, I fought you guys tooth and nail.
No parameters this time. So we are going to operate as the Vikings war room, the Vikings front office, and we can talk this through as we go, okay? So let's rifle off the first pick here and see what the Bears do. Probably Caleb Williams, and there he is.
Yep.
Okay. Do you guys have any desire to talk to the Commanders or the Patriots about a trade up right now?
Let's see what the Commanders say.
Okay. Commanders on the clock.
Jaden Daniels.
They select Jaden Daniels, yep. Number 2. Do you want to call the Patriots?
I'm okay letting the Patriots pick here. All right, we want to engage with Arizona or LA.
It feels like Drake May's stock is falling for whatever reason the last couple weeks. J.J. McCarthy's has been skyrocketing for 2 months. Is that a legitimate, like, how many teams do you think, I mean, this is pure speculation, but up until 2 months ago, Drake May was levels above J.J. McCarthy in the public's mind. But now it feels like maybe J.J. McCarthy is going to be drafted before Drake May. Is that a fair assumption?
It absolutely could happen. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you guys know that's where I was at from the get. So, yep. I mean, like, I think, yeah. You know, as more people have gotten into McCarthy's tape, obviously he rises. It speaks for itself. And then May, he came in with quarterback 2 with a bullet, but I don't think as many people had sat down with his entire 2023 work yet. Doesn't mean that he's going to be a bust. Doesn't mean, you know, this or that, but there's a bit more risk there than was commonly depicted before. And I think that's why you've seen him falling in, you know, some people's minds.
So Drake May goes 3 to the Patriots. We got the Cardinals and the Chargers on the clock here.
Let's go and get JJ.
You want to call the Cardinals here?
Let's call them.
Say screw it. Obviously, they could in this simulation. They would pick, and then we would talk to the Chargers. But let's do it real life. The Vikings might have to hop up to 4 to make this happen. So we'll go 4 and the 11, the 23. It says it'll be accepted without throwing anything else in.
Oh God,
let's do it.
So we could do this.
Well, Cardinals lost their mind.
We'll just do it this way. We could probably get them to kick in like the 162. Yeah, I mean, they'd kick in. It says they'd kick in the 71. But you know they're going to pay a tax.
Kick in their entire draft. They're so thrilled to do business with us.
Oh, all right. Whoa, sorry, my bad. Pause it. I hit the wrong button. Okay, offer trade. 4 for the 11 and the 23rd.
Oh, man. You're like, nah.
We're going to offer this trade. And the Vikings are now on the clock.
All right.
We have 9 trade offers for the number 4 pick.
We're
right
not
now.
Interested.
The
Chargers want to move up. That's weird. I don't know why that would be the case, but
yeah, we're not interested. We're taking JJ.
Let me go to draft the player here.
All right.
And we'll rush to the board. I got to scroll down because they've
got him ranked low. I hate what they did with the grades.
They hate McCarthy. I don't get it.
They've got him 29th.
Well, they used to have him in the 60s, so we're at least moving in the right direction.
How did your buddy not get this right, huh?
I don't know. You got to talk to him.
So there we go, boys. No, we just landed J.J. McCarthy, new quarterback of the Minnesota Vikings.
Almost going crazy.
Yep. And we'll let this kind of play out, but our next pick is the 108 at this point. So I'm going to speed this up. I'm going to go to like 100 and then we can, let's pause it right there.
Ooh.
That's 50. My question is, do you want to trade up at all? I guess once we get closer to 100, if there's a player that's kind of within range. So now we can't really look at the board, unfortunately, because it doesn't give us best players available until we get to the 108.
Let's wait it out. We don't have a ton of draft equity. I want to save what we got.
Okay. We are now back on the clock with the 108th overall pick.
Look at number 3 on the board.
Bo Limmer is available.
My God. Shock the world.
This is kismet. We sort of have to, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do it. Okay. Bo Limmer, you are
you're a Viking, Bo.
Minnesota.
Garrett Bradbury,
Viking.
It's been nice knowing you.
Oh my God, Cooper Beebe is still there too.
We're back on the clock with the 129 here.
Light up, man.
Thor is
like, this is Christmas.
This right now.
Can we take 2 interior offensive linemen with those 2 picks? Because Cooper Beebe is good. Like, I think he would take one of the starting guard jobs immediately.
Ed Ingram to me is not a lock to be a starter going forward. So
yeah,
would that be too aggressive to be taking 2 guards?
Well, our needs are still what? Cornerback. I mean,
you want to fix the interior offensive line. This would be take a look at the other. Cole Bishop's probably going to go in the second round. Jim Nagy, the senior bowl czar, said that, and I buy that. So that he would be a big steal here.
Don't necessarily pull up need the safety, some positions but, of need right. here: defensive interior, wide receiver. We'll pull up cornerback.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, scroll down a little bit for me.
Christian Boyd. Another big bench press guy. My guy.
I Mason Smith would be a good value here, but he's total boomer bust. When's our next pick?
So we have the 129 and then the 157, 167, 177.
Phil, will you check that trade offer and see if we can recoup some of the equity we sent out?
Sure. It'll give us the team that wants to trade.
Okay.
And it's the Jets want to move up 5 picks.
See if we can do 129 for 134 and, you know, like one of those.
185.
Yeah. Or one of the sevens.
It won't be accepted.
Yeah. Take it.
One of the sevens will be. Actually, both of the sevens might be.
Oh, take it. Let's snag both sevens. Teamers there.
Done. Trade accepted. All right.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. We'll go back on the clock here. Okay. 134.
Check on BB and then BB just went to his hometown Chiefs too.
Yeah, Cooper BB gone. He gone.
Mason Smith was the other dude.
Mason Smith.
Yeah. We'll fix the
there he is.
Yeah, there he is. We'll go in and we'll get some help for the defensive line and a true boomer bust guy, Mason Smith, but you get into the 4th round, this would be an abject steal. Like if that guy, the light turns on, you're working with something there. He's 6'5", over 300 pounds. His agility scores were stupid. Crazy long, former top 20 overall recruit in the nation. He's just had some injury problems, so didn't play as much 3-year career there. What positions now we
Wide receiver, cornerback.
Luke McCaffrey.
You guys know it's going to be hard for me to turn that one down.
I'm just pulling up positions of need here. Wide receiver, cornerback. I would say I'll throw edge on here just for fun.
Yeah. Okay.
Throw linebacker on here. Less of a need than maybe it was before. So here's what we got. Couple linebackers that we've talked about before. Notre Dame's JT Bertrand. Luke McCaffrey is the guy that we keep talking about, though.
He's your guy.
He's my guy.
I feel like we've come away with Luke McCaffrey in 90% of the mocks.
We got to take Luke McCaffrey. He's just he's a good value here. And we got our extra picks, so we're gonna be fine with the other positions.
Luke McCaffrey, you and your bloodlines are a Minnesota Viking. Okay, the 167. This is just all players now.
We're looking at defensive back, edge, linebacker.
Here, I'll pull up safety, cornerback. I'll pull up, what else do we want to see? Linebacker, edge. Is there, I mean, once you get to this territory with the edge.
Interior line still, right?
No, we got Bo Limmer.
We got our guy, Bo Limmer.
Okay.
Doesn't mean we can't take. We do have six picks remaining, so we can definitely.
We got a lot of.
Okay, so the top cornerbacks here are going to be on this list: Dwight McLaughlin from Arkansas, Nehemiah Pritchett from Auburn. Anyone stand out to you, Thor?
Or should we
just go Iowa punter right now? And
not yet. Ryan Watts would be interesting. He's got a lot of work to do, but he is huge and he is athletic. They've tried that at corner before, and those guys haven't necessarily worked for him, but he's over 6'3", 206, with a 91st percentile size-adjusted athletic score. At this point, he's going to get taken just on the upside, but inconsistent. You guys remember him being torched by Michael Penix in the collegiate semifinal game. But he would be a guy – you're not going to find a higher ceiling at cornerback around here. But again, you got work to do there. So if we haven't taken a corner before now, maybe the thinking would be, let's bring him in, develop him for a year and just see what we got. That would probably be my lean right here.
Okay. Ryan Watts, cornerback from the University of Texas. And now we're back on the clock. First pick in the sixth round, the 177.
Phil, check out running back for me, would you? This is around where I'd love for the Vikings to take a run. Oh, God.
Oh, your guy, Kamani Vidal.
Oh, God.
From Troy.
It's karma.
Bring Kamani in. We're taking Kamani.
I was going to say, you didn't even have to look at that.
Yeah.
Specs,
this,
man.
This board's falling good for us.
Okay, Kamani Vidal, you are a Minnesota Viking. We have four picks left. We're back on the clock. So we have the 230, the 232, the 256, and the 257.
I'm going to tell you right now, those two late sevens we got from the Jets are going to a kicker and to a Mr. Torrey Taylor. So we're going to be taking two specialists there and revamping that. But so we got two other bullets to fire here first. Have we taken a second offensive lineman or just the first?
Just the first one.
Brandon Coleman would interest me then. Talking about position versatility. Did I bring Brandon Coleman up on our last show? I forget.
I don't think so, man.
It would have been today with the offensive lineman. He'd be another guy I bring up as a potential sleeper. He's just a little bit higher, like where he would have a shot to go late round three, but it's probably going to be more like four. But he grew up in Germany because his parents or his father was deployed over there. So he didn't pick the sport up until late, and it turned out that he was this massive athlete. He goes to TCU. He has started at both guard and tackle. Still needs work with his technique. He's early on the development curve. He also was banged up all last year. So when people just look at his film last year, he was playing through pain. That's, I think, why he gets nitpicked with some people. I think he's headed to guard at the next level. Collegiate tackle, or last year. But I think he would be a guard. But they could potentially play right tackle on a pinch.
And you know that he doesn't look super weird in purple because he played for TCU. So it's very important that he doesn't look weird in purple. We're back on the clock at 232 after taking Brandon Coleman.
So then the – is linebacker – remind me which positions we have not hit that we have – that
We have not hit linebacker.
Linebacker and edge?
We have not hit edge or linebacker.
Okay, pull up linebacker and edge for me. We'll just go.
And how about this, Thor? Some special teams help too here.
Well, we're gonna.
That's coming.
Yeah, he's already He's already earmarked those last two picks for.
Right. No. Teams. I'm saying though, if you draft a linebacker, he can play an absolutely key role on special teams.
Gotcha.
I'm saying Matt Daniels right now is saying, "What about my coverage? What about me? I don't care about the kicker right now." So. A linebacker as a rookie could serve a dual purpose. He might not play a bunch on defense, but he could play a lot on special teams.
Jacobs, Okay, I think the highest. Just go down a little bit more. Wallace McGee. I have Wallace LB7. The McGee kid from Temple is interesting. He's a very good athlete. I have him ninth.
Okay.
I would probably go with Trevin Wallace from Kentucky here. I think. Okay.
So you have this. You have, we're toward the end of the draft here. You have him as LB7 on your list.
Yeah. Yep.
6'2", 240.
Yep. I comp him to Sione Takitaki.
We're going to take him.
He's another guy who's a very good athlete. You know, you guys saw the 6'1", 237, 93rd percentile athlete for Wallace.
Right. Now we can do it.
Now we go to the specialists.
Exactly. So the first one, of course, you have to take Torrey Taylor. I can't disrespect him. And then we're going to take our kicker with the next one. We just drafted a Hall of Famer at the end of the seventh round. We
just got Ray Guy.
My kickers, at least my top three, would be Josh Carty, Cam Little, Harrison Meeves.
Okay. They're all sitting here. So Josh Carty, it sounds like. Yeah, he's a Stanford.
Oh, smart.
Probably
too.
Has a high level of IQ and EQ just big based
leg.
On.
Big leg on Josh Carty.
6'2"? Jeez.
He booms them. Like some of these guys, the kid from Alabama, Will Reichard, they didn't let him kick 50-yard field goals. Like, you can tell a lot by usage of any player at any position in college with the kickers. If the coach is like, yeah, it's going to be a 50-yard attempt, let's just go for it every single time. It's like, maybe that guy's not going to work out in the NFL. But Carty, they didn't care. It was like, oh, it's going to be a 58-yard attempt? Whatever, send out Carty. We got
Justin
a shot.
Justin Tucker, basically.
Yeah.
The next Justin Tucker.
Dude, look at this. By the way, look at this on the PFF. So we're about to see what our grade is. It'll be at the bottom of the screen. But they now have a mock draft assistant where it tells you, hey, you drafted J.J. McCarthy with the fourth pick.
Sure
we
did.
Would have gone Marvin Harrison Jr.
We don't need a mock draft assistant when Thor's on the show.
Yeah,
get your mock draft assistant out of here.
Overall draft grade.
Come on.
C.
Unbelievable.
Thor.
No, that's.
Wait, hold on a second.
Truly scandalous. We just destroyed that draft.
Not according to the PFF.
Now we have the best young special teams in the NFL. We got our star quarterback, face of the franchise. We got our boy. All the infrastructure help. Limmer and Mason Smith. You kidding me? Those guys are going to battle in practice every day.
You know, Thor. You got 2 weeks.
I trust Thor.
2 weeks for Thor to get better. I guess.
I think next week we go back to the mock that we used for a few weeks when PFF went to timeout. I think PFF deserves
Pro
another
Football
timeout.
Network. Pro yeah. Football Network.
Yeah.
We didn't even overpay to go and get McCarthy. Like, this is truly scandalous. We picked up the two picks at the end and that trade down only five spots. I mean, we were doing stuff.
I think they wanted us to, because their simulator was allowing us to get a kickback. So we give the 11, the 23, and we get them to kick back like a third round pick. But I don't think that's what's going to happen in reality. I think there's no way that you're going to go up to four for the 11 and the 23 and then ask for something else back.
They penalize us for being realistic?
Yes.
Okay. For being generous?
Yes.
Yep.
Unbelievable. Okay. I'm going to send a note into PFF after we
they're
get
in timeout.
A strongly worded letter.
They're in timeout for 2 weeks. Screw them. They're out.
They're out.
So there he is, Thor Nystrom from Fantasy Pros and Betting Pros. And again, tell the audience where they can find your Fantasy Pros podcast these days, too.
Yeah, on the Fantasy Pros Dynasty podcast feed, you can find our new NFL draft show with me and Derek Brown, where we deep dive all the offensive skill positions. The last one we did was tight ends. So I did my little song and dance about Eric All, but then we go into all the other guys as well. I disagree with the consensus rankings after Brock Bowers. So we get into all the reasons why and then go through those top 10 guys.
Love it, man. Awesome. You'll be with us again. We're still kind of mapping out the next 2 or 3 weeks, but you will be hearing plenty from Thor as we get up to the draft and even after the draft. So awesome, dude. Thor Nystrom, thanks for coming on again. Happy Thor's Day to you and yours.
Appreciate it, boys. We'll
and
see
you're
you
right
week.
There wrong. That's
Thank
simple.
You.
Hey, before we get to random Viking of the week here, gentlemen, let's talk about our friends over at Ugly Deck and uglydeck.com, Judd.
Gorgeous outside. Birds are chirping. It's springtime. Guess what? Springtime means one thing. Thank you very much. Means it's deck time, and that means a new deck from our friends at uglydeck.com. Install or DIY, uglydeck.com is offering up to $1,000 off. That's right, $1,000 off for a limited time. With install, you get the best carpenters. With DIY, you're going to get the best coaches to help you from start to finish. Ugly Deck is on a very simple mission. It is a mission to rid the world of ugly decks. UglyDeck.com is setting up appointments now at their Shakopee Deck Design Showroom. Check out UglyDeck.com today. That's UglyDeck.com, so you can turn that ugly deck into a beautiful deck for spring.
And speaking of things to do as the weather turns, how about golfing at the Meadows at Mystic? Huh?
I'm sure a lot of people got some tee times booked. And yes, I'm well aware in our YouTube comments section how hideous my golf swing is. But guess what? My friends at the Meadows at Mystic Lake allow me to play and shoot 110 and look like a fool doing it. So I'm very thankful for my friends at the Meadows at the Mystic Lake. You can book your tee time now. You can look like a fool like me, or you can, you know, like break 70, break 80. Doesn't matter. You can go to golfthemeadows.com to learn more. A great course. It's a scenic course, one of the best in the Twin Cities. It's a short drive away from the metro. Go to golfthemeadows.com to book your tee time today.
Speaking of short drives, Declan's golf swing.
I think your swing is just fine, Declan. Don't let him bring you down.
I waved. You never hit the ball that far in your life. I can't tell you how many times it actually happens to me. We're like, Dex, you're good to go. You're not going to hit them.
Pretty new to golfing, like in high school, and I used to play at Pheasant Acres. It's called Pheasant Run at the time, out in Corcoran, kind of Maple Grove area. And you know, like you're sitting in the fairway. The group on the green is 250 yards away, but in your mind, you're like, if I really get a hold of this, I can run it up on him. And some guy on the tour waiting, and some guy on the tee box is literally like, hey, dumbass! You know, just screaming. And he's right. He was right. Just throwing up there in the woods on the right side, 50 yards up, Phil, like you normally do. So I have a random Viking of the week for you guys, a battle of Vikings historical wits. It's going to be Judd versus Declan this week. In the new era of Random Viking of the Week, Judd has 18 wins. I have 12. Declan has 8. All time, Judd has 69 wins. Declan, 34. Nice. I have 19. The last handful of Random Vikings, and Judd's on a 3-game winning streak. Charles Johnson, Brian Robinson, Alexander Madison, David Blau was a no contest. Whoa. Napoleon Harris, and Darren Sharper. They always...
controversial name, in which we got some pushback of why did you have to pick him? And because we said, because he is a former Viking.
He's a random former Viking.
Yeah. He fit the criteria.
Yeah.
Not we're the moral
excited
criteria.
To launch our podcast with Darren Sharper called One Call a Week here on Purple Daily. So I've got a series of clues. You guys can shout out guesses whenever you want to. If one of you hits a third strike, a third incorrect guess, you are eliminated. The other person wins. Okay. Here we go. This random Viking has had 4 career NFL touchdowns. This random Viking, as a senior in high school, rushed for 890 yards, also caught 21 passes for 500 yards, was an All-American, a consensus All-State selection, a Class AA Player of the Year, and was a Mr. Football finalist with his high school performance.
You want to tell us what state he was in?
I'll tell you later. I think it's a clue. Like it's a
we'll circle back.
It's a regional clue. I'll save that one
for now. Yeah. Take that offline right now. All right.
So I find it kind of interesting that he was an All-American. But didn't win Mr. Football, which tells you that there's probably some pretty good players in that state and region.
Florida or Texas.
This random Viking has 16,000 Instagram followers. In fact, he recently, according to his Instagram, he was recently on a podcast called the Therapy Show podcast. There's like a clip from him on this podcast on his Instagram reels. And the host that posted this clip and tagged him in it wrote this description. Dive into a journey of transformation and triumph. This week on The Therapy Show, we're peeling back the layers of a story that's as inspiring as it is enlightening. Join me as I sit down with the incredible blank player name. a former professional football player who's tackled life's ups and downs with the grace of a true champion. I might have to go listen.
Sounds like a lot of unnecessary praise.
Now, he's listed as a true champion here in this podcast description.
Yep.
He did not win a pro football championship. He did not win a Super Bowl.
But he overcame the adversities that life threw at him to yep. become, more importantly, a champion of life.
Apparently, like a, yes.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of unnecessary praise. Okay.
He also hosted, for this past Super Bowl 2 months ago, he hosted a virtual Super Bowl party presented by U.S. Mobile on a platform called Millions. There's like a video streaming platform called Millions, and he hosted a Super Bowl watch party on this platform.
I feel like I need more football clues.
There's also, I'm just kind of perusing, so he has like a website or something, and there is a merchandise wing of this website where you can buy like hooded sweatshirts with this former Vikings name and likeness on the hooded sweatshirts. Yeah. Which I am highly interested in, actually. I might be rocking one on the podcast at some point. This random Viking tallied up just shy of 1,000 career kick return yards in the National Football League.
Hold on. I'm going to look at our list just so, sure. Just so the folks at home don't think I've gone completely rogue.
We can control F here.
I just can't look at like clues. Let's see here. Instagram follow. Oh, whoops. Did I say that?
This random Viking played 49 career NFL games. When you Google image search this player, the first photo that pops up is a blunder. It would be, if I were him and I Google searched myself, I would be annoyed that this photo is the one that pops up. It's an on-field blunder. It is unfortunate.
Four touchdowns.
I would say this. Hmm. Obviously, 49 career NFL games, blunder.
Right.
I'm a little surprised, despite sort of the tone of my clues to this point, I'm a little surprised that this player only scored 4 career NFL touchdowns. A little surprised.
Okay, hold on a second. I'm gonna do a search. I don't even know if this guy has turned his life around. That's my problem.
But he seems to be very happy in life. But based on his football career, one might assume the otherwise. Assume the opposite.
Can I ask if did the blunder happen with the Vikings?
The one in the image did. In fact, yeah.
Troy Williamson?
That's who I was thinking, but...
I'll guess it. Troy Williamson.
It's Troy
Williamson. Son of a...
God damn.
You got 3 guesses. You just rifle off a guess. Troy Williamson. Yep. Nice job, Judd. Oh, man. Yeah, I thought he had more than 4 touchdowns. But, yeah, the blunder is it's
Denver.
That, what would have been a 72-yard touchdown pass from T-Jack. And it's him looking up and the ball bouncing off his head.
It's T-Jack's best pass. It sums up his career.
So bad.
He's become a motivational speaker, right?
He was definitely at one point, yeah. Yeah. So it looks like he's doing well. I think he's got a family and...
Okay, kids.
But the first paragraph of his Wikipedia page is literally, he is considered the biggest bust in the history of the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, I was thinking about that today. I don't know why I'd call him that, but he is, at the 7th pick overall.
Declan, are you okay?
No, I'm pissed. I'm so pissed off.
Why didn't you just guess Troy Williamson?
I don't know. It was between him and one other person, then I realized it couldn't have been the other guy I was thinking of. The thing that was holding me up was the transformation and the hosting of a Super Bowl, like
I didn't realize
that part. I that's why I was so confused. The other stuff, like the blunder, the touchdowns, the kick return, all American. I was like, this sounds like Troy Williamson, but I was too gun shy to pull the damn trigger.
It's happened to us all.
You can't score if you don't shoot.
That's, you know?
You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Thanks, Coach.
Someone should put that on a
Coach Phil. So Troy has hoodies with his face on them.
Yeah, it's like Troy Williamson, like a little purple jersey.
Link.
If you go to his Instagram, he's got a little link tree, and you can.
I might actually buy one of those. Yeah,
it'd be amazing. Maybe we can get him to show up at the draft party in a couple weeks at the Fillmore. Go long, Troy. No, okay. Troy, catch this microphone. Oh God!
Whoops!
All right. That's mean. Okay, that's a wrap on Purple Daily.
We're mocking
Daily Vikings Entertainment, where we just want the Vikings to win a Super Bowl before we die. We'll see you for Feedback Friday tomorrow.